You are listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Please enjoy our Sunday, April 10th, live service. Enjoy the worship music and message from Pastor David Ripley.
Gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Oh, I hear that. Anyway, I put up a picture of donkeys, a couple of donkeys there, and wanted to see if you recognize something. Oh, they took it away. If you could put it back up again. But when it comes back up, just have a look at it and see if you see something significant there. I discovered something that I didn't know. Oh, we're a little ahead. There we go. There we go. Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea. Google is amazing, and I found it. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your gift of grace, your gift of mercy, that you gave us your Son, and that he came as a Prince of Peace, but his people rejected him. And he was pierced, just as Isaiah, the prophet said in Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced for our transgressions. And laid down his life for us as an unblemished sacrifice, as an unblemished lamb. And, not to cover our sins, but to do away with our sins, Lord. And we're so thankful for that amazing gift. And it is through the resurrection and his life that we look forward to that day that we can join him. And when he comes again, Lord, we're so thankful for that amazing gift. Lord, I want to pray for the unborn today. There is a legislation that is being proposed in California that is proposing that it will no longer be the unborn, but even up to 21 days that the mothers can decide whether they want that child or not. Lord, that is pure evil. That is not from you, Lord. We pray that your people would stand up and stand against this, Lord. And, yeah, I just don't know what to say, Lord. I want to lift up our community, our valley, our leaders in our valley, our leaders in our country, Lord. We are a sinful people. We are sinful by nature. Lord, we pray that people would turn to you and repent and seek your face and humble themselves, Lord, so that our land would be healed. And we pray that a revival would spread out in our country, throughout the world, Lord, that people would turn to you, because what's happening is not from you, Lord. We lift up our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine, Lord. They are going through a difficult time. We ask that you would protect them, that you would comfort them as they are going through this time of war. And Lord, that you would use this time and to turn people to you. You use bad things to turn them for good, Lord. And we just pray that so many more souls would come to you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the many answered prayers that you have given us in our community here, in our our church community. And there are so many that are still needing prayer. We think of Mel and just how he is miraculously is coming along, Lord, and we pray that you would continue to heal him and bring him back, that he would be able to come and give his testimony what you did in his life, Lord. When we're so thankful, Lord. So we give you all the praise, we give you all the honor, we bless you, Lord, and we thank you for your amazing grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I just wanted to share this. It's the legend of the donkey cross. And I'll just read it. Okay, there we go. It reads, "Bring me the colt of a donkey," was the master's request. A young donkey was brought to Jesus to carry him to Jerusalem. A week later, Jesus was ordered crucified. The little donkey so loved the Lord that he wanted to help carry the cross, but alas, he was pushed away. The sad little donkey waited to say goodbye until nearly all had left. As he turned to leave, the shadow of the cross fell upon his shoulders, and there it has remained, a tribute to the loyalty and love of the humblest of God's creations. And it's amazing, the donkey is the only creature that has this cross on his back. There's no mules, there's no horses, there's no burros. It's the only one, and every donkey has this. Now, was this God's way of telling us about the future? I don't know. But I thought it would be nice to share it with you.
Good morning and welcome. Are you ready to worship the Lord this morning? Let's stand.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure, since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. There's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of the city beyond I can see, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Amen. Let's thank him this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. He's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you,
thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
This is my desire, all I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. And this is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. So I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take. Every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, have your way in me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way, Lord Jesus.
Jesus, like the fragrance after. sing about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Seated this morning. Good to have each one of you here today. And we are preparing our hearts for this coming weekend, Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Well, we have a birthday today. I don't know where Ezra is, if he's up in the booth, but we want to wish him a happy birthday today, 16th birthday. How many remember when you were 16?
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Ezra, happy birthday to you.
Well, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who helped to make the doctor's tour last Tuesday a big success, from those who prepared the meal for the doctors, for those that did ushering and the sound and so on and so forth. It was just a great success. I think we're estimating now, over 200 people showed up. This past Tuesday, we're thinking between 200 and 250 showed up. This auditorium was packed, and we had about 25 in the lower auditorium. So we just want to say a big thank you to you and for those who helped. Let's show our appreciation this morning. There's a tithes and offering box available for donations as you enter the sanctuary, and you can put in your donation discreetly and as unto the Lord. Tuesday, 1 o'clock, our women's prayer and share is happening, so we encourage all the women to come and to join together in prayer. And then Tuesday at 7 p.m. is a special edition of This and That from our radio studio. And we have had the opportunity to interview the three doctors. This is a shortened version because how many know the last This and That was 3 hours? Yes. It's a long time. This is about 35 minutes, and we had a chance to interview each doctor in the studio, and they are on their way. I don't know where they are now, probably back to Vancouver or Langley, but we want to continue to pray for them as they continue their tours. And they will be coming back with a different tour. This will be a freedom tour coming up, and it will not feature the three doctors, but there'll be other guests that will join us, and that will be sometime in May or June. We're just praying about that, so please keep that in prayer. So there's no Bible study for this week as we prepare for our Good Friday service. That's Friday at 10:30 a.m., our Good Friday service. And then Saturday at 8 a.m. is our men's prayer meeting at Gary's shop. And then Sunday is our Resurrection Sunday service, and we have several choirs that will be singing. And I know it'll be a blessed time as we gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How many know it's spring? I know it doesn't feel like spring. It does not feel like spring. I woke up this morning and it was snowing. I don't know how that can happen, but it has happened, folks. But anyway, we're having some spring cleaning projects right here at Grace Christian Fellowship. If you're interested in helping out, please see Gina Ripley. So, Gina, can you just wave your hand and you can go and see her after the service. We're going to let all the children make their way to Children's Church at this time. Whoever the teacher is, she's standing, and all the children can make their way to Children's Church as we prepare this morning for our message in the Word. But before we do that, we're going to give you a chance to stand and move around and shake some hands, greet somebody. Let's stand this morning. Let's move around. Let's show the love of Jesus to those around us. Hallelujah.
To hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What a lovely name. What a lovely name. Name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim what a lovely name. To redeem, making sinners clean. By his power he cleansed. the dead to rise. And what a lovely name, this name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Sweeter than the songs they sing in
Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. As you find a seat this morning, we're going to get into the Word. And I want to share for a few moments today. It looks like broccoli, doesn't it? I don't want to talk about broccoli. Actually, one of my favorite is pickles. How many like pickles? Okay. I love pickles. We're getting off course now, folks. We're getting off course. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 6. And I want to share for a few moments this morning on freedom from sin. You know, we don't talk a lot about sin in the church today. In fact, some people have replaced the word sin with mistakes. I've made a mistake. But how many know there's a difference between a mistake and a sin? A big difference. And you know, sin is not just the things that we do. It can be the things that we don't do. That can be a sin. In fact, the Bible says that he that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is a sin. Dealing with sin is a major topic in the Bible. And that's why I wonder why we don't talk about it more. People are battling with sin in their own lives. Sin can turn into addiction. Sin can turn into sickness. How many know that sin can lead to certain types of sickness? In fact, Jesus talked a lot about sicknesses that were caused by sin. Not all sickness. Not every sickness. I don't know why we're getting this sound up here, but And we still have the legend of the donkey. Can't seem to get rid of that donkey. So it's important for us to address this subject this morning. That God doesn't want us to be bound by any kind of sin. He has offered us freedom through the cross and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday is all about. It's not just escaping hell, but it is the freedom from sin. The liberty that comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Romans 6 is all about. Father, I just thank you today for the blood of Jesus. I thank you today for the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the deliverance that comes through the blood of Jesus. And I pray this morning as we go through these verses that you would bring divine revelation. You would open up our eyes, O God. You would illuminate our spirits to understand all that you're saying to us through this chapter, through these verses. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So let's go through Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Beginning at verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now let me frame this morning by saying every time the Bible brings forth a glorious truth, it's Satan's aim to distort it. To make it say something that it's not saying. And all through the New Testament, we see Paul and the others, the other apostles, dealing with false doctrine. How many know that's true? Constantly dealing with the problem of false teaching. And here we have one that I want to address this morning. Now in verse 20 of chapter 5, verse 20 of chapter 5 of Romans, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." That sounds like a wonderful verse, doesn't it? But the false teachers took that and twisted it and said, well, if that's true, then why don't we sin even more so that God's grace can increase? And we see that over in Romans chapter 3, verse 7. If you want to turn over there to Romans chapter 3, verse 7. We don't always have to look to the screen, do we? How many have their own Bibles this morning? "For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner?" That's what the false teachers were saying. If I sin and that brings forth a greater dimension of God's grace, then why don't I just sin even more so that more of God's grace would be demonstrated? And sometimes, even in the church today, we don't even talk about sin. We don't even mention sin. Look what it says here in verse 8. "And why not say, let us do evil that good may come?" Can you imagine believing that? That somehow, if you do evil, if you accentuate sin, that somehow that brings forth glory to God. Here he says, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just. That is not what Paul is teaching. That is not what Paul is teaching. So if we go back to Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, certainly not. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now notice this is past tense. Let me read it again. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? It's not God's will for the believer to be bound, to be tormented, to be engulfed in a lifestyle of sin and rebellion against God. It's the will of God that we be set free, that we be liberated. Hallelujah. You know, I hear people all the time saying, well, I guess this is my lot in life. This is my lot in life. To be bound, to suffer under this sinful domination. Jesus did not die on the cross so that you could have forgiveness of sins. He died on the cross that you could live a life of freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us... Now these are difficult verses to interpret. But I want you to stick with me this morning, because there is some powerful truths in the book of Romans, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. Look what it says here. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus? Think about this morning. Oftentimes we use the analogy of baptism. Baptism by water. Right? How many have been baptized by water? Can I see your hand? Wow, look at all those hands that have gone up. This is a baptismal tank right here. Underneath these crosses, there's a baptismal tank. Thank you for that. Amen. We believe in total immersion as people are baptized. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. When you go underneath the waters through baptism, you are immersed in Christ. You are united with Christ. You take on all the benefits for which Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Think about it this morning. You become one with Christ. You identify with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. I think so many of us live below all the things that God has so graciously given to us through the death of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. When Jesus was buried, all your sins were buried with Him. Hallelujah. Oh, that's not a big enough hallelujah for me. When Jesus was buried, your sins were buried with Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is there now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
We've had our sins forgiven. Hallelujah. Past tense. I don't think we fully comprehend the forgiveness that has been offered to us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Pastor Raff mentioned about two men going into the temple. And one of them said, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm not like so and so. I tithe, I'm religious, I go to church, I do this and I do that." And the other man beat his chest and said, "Lord, have mercy upon me as a sinner." We had to come to the foot of the cross, folks, and realize that apart from Christ, we're lost. Apart from His forgiveness, apart from the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, we are lost and undone. The Bible says He's taken our sin and thrown it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. You know, I think people think that heaven is going to be like a television show. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, those reality television shows. I've never watched them. That somehow every sin that you've been committed, that you have engaged in, is going to be shown on this huge, massive television screen. Friends, that's not what the Bible teaches. Yes, we are going to be judged according to our works and what we've done with what God has given us. But those sins have been cleansed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. When you went through the waters of baptism, when you went under those waters, you left the old life behind. You said goodbye to that old life. And when you came up out of the waters, you said hello to a new life in Christ. Hallelujah. Because now you're born again of the Spirit of God. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I quoted that a few weeks ago. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New desires. New thoughts. New motivations. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? That within your heart, you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and His Spirit has come to live within you, and now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But how many know that old nature is still there? Have you ever asked yourself, why do Christians commit such grievous sins? Ever asked yourself that question? And then you begin to question, well, maybe they were never truly born again. And that's a possibility. But I think even born again believers can commit grievous sins. If they allow the old nature to have control of their lives. Hello? Friends, if our day-to-day life, if our inward thoughts and secret sins were even today, at this moment, exposed, some of us would be ashamed. Hello? You say, why is that, Pastor David? Why is it that born-again believers can do such sinful things? like hatred and unforgiveness. How is that possible when the Bible clearly teaches if you hate your brother, the love of God is not within you? I think part of the answer is that sinful nature has risen up and taken control of the new nature. And what we see is evidence of the fleshly life that we once lived resurrecting itself. How many know that if you stop praying, which I would never recommend you do, and stop reading your Bible, and stop seeking after God, it's amazing how that old flesh can resurrect itself in a few short days. How many know that's true? Instead of responding, you're barking. Yeah. Hello? Now it's because that old nature is in control instead of the new nature. The old nature is to be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, I want you to go over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I want to simplify this morning. Because I think it's really important for us to understand these truths as we enter in to Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. There's two verses I want to look at this morning that can help you understand the verses that I just read. Because I want you to understand that no matter what sin you're battling with this morning, God wants you to be completely free from that in the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout amen this morning? He wants you to experience liberty and freedom. Hear Paul speaking. Maybe you've got this memorized. I have been crucified with Christ. You know what? When Jesus died on that cross, your old self died with him. Are you hearing me? That old you. Do you remember the old you? If you've forgotten, I can remind you about the old you. What you used to be before you were born again of the Spirit of God. That old you has been crucified with Christ. When Jesus died, you died with him. Hallelujah. It's past tense. I don't think we fully comprehend the transformation that has taken place in our lives when we gave our hearts to Jesus Christ. It says here, I have been crucified with Christ. Look at the next part of this verse. It is no longer I who live. Someone has died and someone new has come to life. You know, sometimes I have seen these commercials, you know, where they've gone through some sort of a diet. How many have ever been on a diet? You know, the interesting thing about the word diet is the first couple of letters, die. Die to it. And then they show the person before the diet, and they show the person after the diet. Right? And normally, most of the time, 99.9% of the time, the person after the diet looks slimmer. I was going to say it's the spandex is pressing against the flesh. They say if you take this diet, your life will be changed forever. Right? And so people happily pay money. They do all kinds of things to try to lose weight, to look better than they were before. Well, you know, in Christ, I don't question it. You're better than you were before. Hallelujah. I want that to get down into your spirit today. If you've been born again of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, you're better than you were before. Oh, glory to God. That's what the Bible teaches. Because it's no longer the old you that's living. It's the new you. Hallelujah. That you that has been touched by the Spirit of God, changed and transformed, that's living in you. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in and through me. Through that new nature that God has given to each one of us. The life which I now live in the flesh. How many know we're still living this life? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me or for me. And the next verse is important. I do not set aside the grace of God. You know, I hear people saying all the time, different religions, just be a good person. Did you know there's going to be good people in hell? Because if you're just good and your goodness can get you to heaven, then Jesus didn't have to die for your sins. Are you hearing me? For all have sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Look what it says here. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. We need his mercy, folks. We need his grace to be extended to us. Look at verse 6. And this is one of the central verses in chapter 6. Knowing this, and I've already touched on it from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Now I want you to look at the next part of this verse because it's so very, very important. It says here that the body of sin might be done away with. Well, that's kind of an interesting statement, isn't it? The body of sin might be done away with. Again, these are not easy verses to understand. But in essence, it's teaching us that we no longer have to sin. Are you hearing me? The power that was upon us before salvation to engage in sin, to be driven to sin, has been broken through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That as born again believers, that drivenness, if I could use that terminology, to sin, to engage in sin, to want to sin, to desire to sin, to fall into sin has been broken by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. You know, there was this young couple at the beginning of the last century was taking a trip from England to New York City. And they got on this big cruise ship. And they found their little cabin. And there they stayed for most of the trip until one of the workers came and knocked on the door and said, "We haven't seen you. What's going on?" As he looked, he saw old sandwiches. He saw broken pieces of cracker, juice that seemed to be there for weeks. And they said, "Well, we've been in our room. We've been eating. The captain has sent me to tell you that this was an all-inclusive thing. This was all-inclusive. All the meals were part of the package." Are you hearing me this morning? Everything that you wanted was up a few flights. Do you know there's so many Christians that are eating crackers, that are eating stale sandwiches, that they don't realize and fully comprehend everything that Christ has done for you and me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are victorious. We are victorious. You know, it's just come to me that I feel like waking up every morning and just declaring I'm a victor through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we should try that this week. Every day we wake up, just declare yourself to be a victor. Hallelujah. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power and the grip of sin has been broken through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what this verse is saying to us this morning. That the old nature's grip on our lives has been broken. But we've got to keep putting our faith in the right place. Sometimes, you know, we can get good at serving Jesus. We can get pretty good at it. And then we begin to slowly think that we're doing it, that somehow we're smart enough to do it. And when that happens, that's when that old nature rises up again, and we begin to see that without Christ, we can't do it. We need the power of the Spirit every day. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Can you shout amen this morning? I've had people say to me, "I know everything." I don't even need to come to church anymore. I know everything. That reminds me of the joke that my mother told before she passed away a few years before, that this man had a set of encyclopedias. You remember that joke? Had a set of encyclopedias, and he said, "I'm selling them." Someone said, "Why are you selling?" "Well, I'm married now. My wife knows everything." Let that one sink in. So I'm selling them. Why? Because my wife knows everything. How many know we can become like that as believers? We can think we know everything. Friends, when we say we know everything, we're just starting the journey. When we say we know nothing and we need God, we're making progress. Oh, hallelujah. Let me end this morning The Bible says, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You know, addiction is a powerful force. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7. The things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I should do, I don't do. And there's this struggle going on inside. And that's where we as the body of Christ need to pray for each other. Because when sin turns into an addiction, those individuals are going to need help in the ministry of God and us standing with them until that addiction is broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. We can't look down on people that are addicted. We can't think that we're better than they are. Are you listening to me this morning? We need to come alongside of them and pray with them and see them helped and encouraged. Because but by the grace of God, there go we. Are you hearing me this morning? For he who has died has been freed from sin. You know, I don't necessarily believe in positive confession, but I believe in biblical confession. And I think we need to start confessing God's word as we read it. That we have been delivered and set free in the name of Jesus. That we are victorious through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that's inerrant. I don't think that's false to confess God's word. Because when we confess it, it begins to work in our lives. It begins to do something in our hearts in the name of Jesus. I encourage you to go through Romans chapter 6 and confess that you have died with Christ, that you are free by the power of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Irrespective of what you feel or what you sense, get into the Word and confess it in Jesus' name. Will you bow your heads this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for each verse that we read today. Lord, I pray as we have read and studied these verses, that they would become part of us. They would be engrafted into our spirit. We would not let the devil steal the truth of your word from us. But Lord, I pray, irrespective of how we feel or what's happening, that we would be governed not by our feelings, not even by what we see, but we would be governed by the word of God. Lord, I pray for each person here today that may be struggling, maybe going through a difficulty. Lord, I pray that you would set them free today as they have heard your word. Lord, these are difficult passages, but I pray that as we continue to meditate upon them, that more and more truth and revelation would come forth in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray today as we come to the end of this service, that your work would be done continually in each one of our lives. And Lord, I'm going to ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I don't know if you know this old song, Set My Spirit Free. Yes, I want us to sing that this morning before we leave. Set my spirit free that I may worship you, O Lord. We're ones who put our hands in the air. Why? Because that's what the Bible teaches us to do. From Genesis to Revelation. And they lifted their hands unto the Lord. And they magnified his name. Hallelujah. Something is shifting in the spirit. I said something is shifting in the spirit. And we want to be part of what God is doing in these last days. In the name of Jesus. Let's sing it this morning.
Set my spirit free that I might worship thee.
Set my spirit free that I might praise thy name. Let all bondage go and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship thee.
Just a simple song. Let's sing it again.
Set my spirit free that I might worship thee.
Set my spirit free that I might praise thy name. Let all bondage go and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship.
Just one more time. It's through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, sing it this morning. Hallelujah.
That I might worship thee.
Set my spirit free that I might praise thy name. Oh, let all bondage go and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship thee.
Father, as we leave this place this morning, I pray that your word would stay with us, Lord. The truth of your word would stay with us. Father, I just pray as we enter into this week of remembrance, that your hand of blessing would rest upon us, O God. Father, I just pray that even as we go our separate ways today, that your truth would not remain here in this sanctuary, but it would go with us, O Lord, every step of the way. Help us, O God, to stay in your word, to stay in prayer, Lord. And Father, we're looking to your Holy Spirit to help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give Jesus a clap offering this morning. God bless you. Take a moment to shake somebody's hand as you leave. Tell them that you love them this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for our live Sunday service. Have a great rest of your day. God bless.